This is Transistor, a science series from PRX.
Hi, Genevieve at PRX here. First, a shout out to our sister podcast, Orbital Path. There's a new episode featuring a scientist who shot a video of a total eclipse from a commercial flight earlier this year. Maybe you saw it was a viral hit online. So Orbital Path unpacks that story and everything you wanted to know about the moon passing in front of the sun. It's hosted by astronomer Michelle Thaler. That's Orbital Path. Subscribe wherever you do your podcast thing. Now to Transistor. To the untrained ear, it may seem like nothing is lost when a song is compressed to MP3 format. We take the music for granted, right? But to one composer, when the audio is compressed, what remains are lost sounds, and they're the source for his stunning and ghostly musical compositions. Emily Richardson Lorente brought us this story.
When software to compress music into MP3 files first came out, this Ace of Base song was number one in the U.S. Back then, hard drives were tiny, and the easiest way to share music with a friend was to bring a CD to her house. But with the advent of the MP3 format, there was finally an easy way to send and store music digitally. Sure, that music was highly compressed, and yeah, lots of people have since complained about the quality, but there's one guy who's not complaining.
Oh, I'm feeling great about it.
That's Karl-Heinz Brandenburg, the proud father of the MP3. The method he and his team perfected for compressing music allows us to squeeze a big, beautiful, complex symphony into an itty-bitty compressed digital file a tenth its original size. Like any digital audio file, the MP3 converts sound into data, tiny packets of code called bits. The fewer bits you use in a song, the more you compress it, the smaller the file. But just cutting bits across the board can make for a lousy copy of a song. The trick to any great compressed audio file is to assign more bits to the important sounds and fewer bits to the unimportant ones. The genius behind the MP3 format is that it does this by basically replicating what happens in our ears naturally. It's called auditory masking.
If you walk into a big train station and a train comes in and you've been talking to somebody, you'll find that the sound of the train will be so loud that you can't hear the other person speaking.
So your friend's voice is masked by the train.
Masking is used in MP3 in a way that the inaccuracies, because I use less bits, become inaudible compared to the original signal.
To hear how this masking concept applies to music, ask Ryan McGuire.
Hello. Check.
He's getting his PhD in composition and computer technologies, so he knows auditory masking.
Let's say there are two sounds happening at once. There's a clarinet and an oboe playing the same note, and one's louder and one's a little bit softer. If the one instrument is loud enough over the quiet one, you can really just erase the quiet one, and most people won't notice that it's gone.
So the MP3 works by essentially reducing the sounds we wouldn't hear anyway, which got Ryan McGuire thinking about what those sounds were.
I'm just sort of fascinated by them. I think this idea of reducing the data by 90% in an audio file and then it's still sounding pretty good is kind of an amazing feat of engineering. And I'm very curious about what those lost sounds are.
So in addition to composing his own original music, like what's playing now, Ryan conceived of a project he calls The Ghost in the MP3.
It's very spooky.
Using a song that Karl-Heinz Brandenburg had used in the original MP3 development listening tests, Ryan began comparing the MP3 versions to the original uncompressed file.
I've been working on the song Tom's Diner.
I am sitting in the morning at the diner on the corner. I am waiting at the counter for the man to pour the coffee. And he.
Oh no, it's going to be in my head all day.
Yeah, it is an earworm, isn't it?
The window at somebody coming in.
That's the exact 20 seconds we used for testing.
How many times do you think you listened to Tom's Diner while you were developing the MP3?
Easily thousands, I would say.
But before Dr. Brandenburg heard Tom's Diner for the very first time, he had already spent 5 years developing the MP3.
From the testing available, I thought, oh, now it's pretty good.
But then he tried compressing the a cappella song.
Susan Vega's voice really got destroyed.
I am sitting in the morning at the diner on the corner.
It sounded like she had too much whiskey the day before.
That was in 1988, and it took Dr. Brandenburg and his team another 4 years of trial and error before they were finally satisfied with the sound quality of the MP3. Compression still removed a significant portion of the data, but the difference, the lost sounds, were virtually undetectable to industry experts, the so-called golden ears.
Golden ears who have done listening tests on this and completely liked the audio quality.
Of course, nowadays, some people insist that they can hear a difference in quality with MP3s. And to that, Dr. Brandenburg says,
okay, to get better quality, use higher bitrate.
Remember those bits we talked about earlier? Bit rate is the number of bits in a file transmitted per second. The quality of an MP3, of any kind of digital audio file, really, will vary drastically depending on this number. But in general, the higher the bitrate, the better it sounds. But let me give you an example. This song is about to go from a high bitrate of 256, which is what iTunes currently uses, all the way down to 8 kilobits per second. See what I mean? Unless you're making art with this stuff, you probably want to stick with high bit rates for your music. Okay, back to Ryan McGuire.
Okay.
23 years after the invention of the MP3, he's on a sort of sonic archaeology expedition to uncover the sounds that are lost during MP3 compression.
You know, this is all this material that's been discarded that pretty much everybody is in agreement we don't need.
Ryan calls that material ghosts. And you'll understand why when you hear this. Oh, that's so creepy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of terrifying. When I first rendered the first file after I had done this calculation to figure out what was tossed out, and I listened back to it, I had this little sort of eureka moment where I heard it and I thought, oh my goodness, this is really interesting sounding. I could really make music out of this.
And so he did. It's called Modernist.
She's in this diner and she's like staring at her cup of coffee and she's like in her own little tiny sort of space, you know? And if you're listening on headphones, it's all like, it's all mixed very close in. But then at one point she's like looking out at this church and she's hearing the bells that are happening outside and the rain outside.
Ryan could make music from the lost sounds in any MP3 if he wanted to, but right now he's working his way carefully through the 4 songs that Karlheinz Brandenburg used during the MP3 development listening tests. Fast Car by Tracy Chapman is the second.
Fast Car is different from Tom's Diner in that there's a whole band playing. There's less silence and there's more activity. It's more alive in a way.
Which means it also has more ghosts. Oh, that sounds like some sort of post-apocalyptic marching band.
There's a lot more happening.
So those are the ghosts. And here's what Ryan made from them. It's called Any Place. What do you think Karlheinz Brandenburg would think about the work you're doing?
I could see him taking it badly, possibly, and saying, like, you know, well, the MP3 is based on this perceptual model that all the stuff that gets taken out is not perceptible, and so I don't see the point. My hope is that he'll think it's interesting.
That's very interesting. The ghost in the MP3 taking signals from MP3 and using that to create new art. I think that's marvelous.
Of course, as with any technology, there are trade-offs with MP3s. Sounds are lost, whether or not you and I can hear them. But by unearthing those ghosts, Ryan McGuire is turning digital artifacts into art. If you're interested in hearing more of his work, check out theghostinthemp3.com. His songs are available there as uncompressed files, or if you prefer another option, as MP3s. I'm Emily Richardson-Lorente.
Next time on Transistor. Some studies claim that 1 in 10 women can't help peeing themselves, and not much works to prevent such embarrassing situations. Is there an explanation for what's happening? We get a very personal and scientific journey from one new mom in the next Transistor. Transistor is supported by the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation, enhancing public understanding of science, technology, and economic performance. More at sloan.org. This is PRX.